The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Interesting. And I'm just going to remind you that we are moving everything over to Odyssey. And if you want, you're going to watch the show and participate, Odyssey will be improved. Just go to Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com. And you can check it out. We have stuff there. You can check out the channels that we have. We have Matt Slick, we have Carm Videos, and just radio shows. And so people are signing up for those. So I'm just going to give you guys a heads up here for the next few weeks about that, trying to get it jump started. And there you go. So you can check that out, O-D-Y-S-E-E. You can also just go to the carm.org website, C-A-R-M.org. And on the home page, you can see in the right-hand side, all you got to do is click on, it says Matt Slick or watch Matt Slick Radio. Not a big deal, I'm just sitting here. But have it create your own free Odyssey account today in green at the top of the page when you click on that link, and then it goes right in there. It goes to Carm Videos, and we have 87 there in there right now. So we have over 1,000 uploads to it. People just don't know. We've been on YouTube for years, and so basically we're moving away from YouTube because of the leftist policies, and just waiting for them to shut us down. So there you go. All right. So check that out. All right. Want to give me a call? Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Well, good evening, Matt Slick.
Good evening. Good evening, man. So
what
do you got?
I got a question. Why can I reverse the teachings of the Word Faith teachers, and I reverse it back onto them? Or like, why none of them will call me and ask me, hey, don't you want to get a ride in my private jet with me? Because I know you got to do ministry work around the world. I want you to be led to your commitment. Or well, why can't they set a soul, a $10 million seed into my life and watch it, and nothing will happen until God touches it? And then be a miracle. Let them expect a miracle from
Wait. I got a question. What's your question? Okay.
That's my question. Why can't I reverse the same teaching back on them and see what God will do in their life? All the teaching they teach at the Word Faith
because
public, reverse
because
that
they're
same teaching on them. So see,
because they're making money. They can make money. They're not going to sow seed money to your ministry or my ministry, for example. They're not going to do that because that gives money away. They want to get money, and so they're trying to get money. That's what the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it people are about. And a lot of them think that what they're doing is actually right. They think that they are teaching the truth and stuff, and that God always wants you to be healthy and wealthy and prosperous and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, it's not the truth, and a lot of people are being deceived by it. A lot of people. And they're not going to seed faith money to you or to this ministry. People should be, you know, objectively, they should be supporting this ministry because we reach out with the truth of the gospel into all areas of life with orthodoxy and truth. So that's worth supporting. But people don't want to really support as much. That kind of thing, because you don't get rewards for it, except in heaven. But you don't get rewards here. They want money and wealth and health and prosperity now. So what the faith teachers are doing is teaching narcissism. They're teaching kindergarten theology. That's what it is. Okay.
Right, and also all these rich world faith teachers, these big mansions, and all these world faith teachers. And all these homeless people, why don't they just let them sleep in a couple of these rooms? Like, they got plenty of spaces with these poor homeless people who are getting kicked out in the streets and homeless and hungry.
Yeah.
Why don't you just come into my big mansion and let me stay for a couple of weeks in here?
If you really love Jesus,
right?
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. It's a fair question to ask. Why is it that they, have multi-millions dollars of this? And I've heard them say some incredible things. And maybe I'll, after we're done on the phone here, I'll start reading some of the stuff that they've said and some of the heresies that these guys have said, like heresies from John Advanzini, Charles Capps, Kenneth Copeland, Paul Crouch, Kenneth Hagin, Benny Hinn, E.W. Kenyon, Joyce Meyer, Fred Price. These are heretics. They're false teachers.
Murdoch.
I don't know who that is, but there's a lot of them out there.
He's one of those people. He's on TV too. He's one of the world famous Murdoch.
Yeah, there's some out there, and I just can't keep up with everybody. So when I do research, I have to stop everything I'm doing, so to speak, and I just work on one thing, and then I write 5, 6, 7 articles on it or more. Then I move on to the next thing. And there's always phone calls, there's emails, there's radio, there's debates, there's hundreds of other things I got to do. And so I can't go as quickly as I'd like to. If I had a staff,
I don't blame
it'd be great, a big staff. But it's what it is. It's okay. So, just move forward, and that's it. So, okay, buddy?
Yeah, but my point, but what I'm saying is, we cannot get mad sometimes at these false heretics, because sometimes the true church are not doing their job reaching the people with the true gospel. So that when these things happen, they get upset and criticize these false teachers. But if the church who got the true gospel will do their job and go out and evangelize the world,
People largely here in America are not interested in evangelism and furthering the gospel. Mostly the Christians that I'm aware of, my experience, most congregation members are mainly interested in just providing for their family, which is a good thing, but not really supporting the idea of evangelism, the defense of the faith, and stuff. And there are churches that do that, and there are people, they're out there. But for the most part, the Christian church isn't interested in that. For the most part, the Christians are interested in just becoming secure. And that's it. And then they go to church on Sundays, and then the unbelievers take over the world. So that's what's happening.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. Keep up the great work.
I'm trying, buddy. All right, man. God bless.
All right.
That's Alberto from Georgia. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Anthony from Des Moines, Iowa. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Brother Matt, how are you?
I'm doing all right, by God's grace. I'm doing fine. So what do you got?
Well, referring to your previous discussion with Alberto, I had watched Charles Capps on TV, and Kenneth Cole, basically everybody that you had mentioned. And I always had wondered, is there any scriptural evidence? Because these guys talk about, well, we have creative power in our words, because then they talk about how God created everything, he spoke everything into existence. But basically that kind of threw up a red flag for me, because they're saying that we have the same power that God has, and I just don't.
Right.
God, we cannot usurp God's power. He shares his power and his glory with nobody.
Yeah, and so 42:8. Yes, so, that's true. But what they're going to say is lies from the devil. Like you said, Charles Capps, right? Is that who you mentioned?
He was one of the first books I read, and then I watched a few episodes of him on TV, and he's very persuasive, and what he says kind of makes sense, but in the back of my mind, the Holy Spirit's telling me there's something here that's not quite right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, trust me. I know. And he has said, for example, faith is a substance, the raw material. Faith is a substance that God used to create the universe, and he transported that faith with his words. Faith is a substance of things, but you can't see faith. Faith is a spiritual force. And he also said, God framed the world with his words. You can't build without substance. He took words, faith-filled words, were God's substance. Here, essentially, is what God did. God filled his words with faith. He used his words as containers to hold his faith and contain that spiritual force and transport it out there into the vast darkness by saying, let there be light.
Okay.
And here's more heresy from this false teacher. He said, in this, the Abrahamic covenant, God is establishing legal entry into the earth. He is giving Abraham access to himself. This covenant God gave legal entry into the earth through Adam. Through Abraham. Until that time, God was, to a certain extent, still on the outside looking in. He needed a legal entry through man so that he could destroy the works of the devil. Yeah, it's just stupidity. Yeah. Or how about this? I love this one. This is the best one. This is the best one. Check this out. You're going to love this. This is from Charles Capps, Authority in the Three Worlds, tape 258-259, emphasis in the original. Anyway, quote, notice that when Jesus said, I have finished the work, John 17:4, we know that he had not finished the work. How about that?
Where does that come from?
Well, that comes from the devil.
Well, I know where it comes from. And I can't say it on the radio, but...
I mean, he's such a false teacher, you know. When he actually said it. When God said, when Jesus said it's finished, it really wasn't finished. Who is this guy to speak like this about Christ?
That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and then I also, my wife was a big fan of Kenneth Copeland. We used to watch him a lot.
Oh, he's a heretic.
He's got a feel-good message, you know, and all that smiling and stuff, you know, smiling, feel-good deal. So I got some CDs from him, and it was something about the power in your words, or you can have what you say, or all basically the same stuff. And when you listen to it, it seems to make sense. I mean, because he's very persuasive. He's a salesman. He's selling a bunch of BS.
He's a slick salesman is what he is.
And he's not a Matt Slick salesman either.
Hey, you want to know what he said?
That's right.
Want to hear some of the things he said? I got it right here. Check this out.
Let me tell you something, Matt. You just reminded me of something. One time, sorry to interrupt, but I got to tell you this because I don't know if you heard this before. But one time I was watching some stuff on the internet, and I can't tell you who it was. But this guy was basically exposed, basically doing like what you're doing. And I don't know how I got onto it. But anyway, he got onto a thing where Gloria Copeland was saying, and this just made me laugh out loud. She says, you know, as a Christian, you can control the weather. And she said, one time me and Kenneth were sitting out by the lake and a tornado started to come down. And Kenneth said, in Jesus' name, get out of here. And she said, that thing just went whoop, whoop, whoop. Up into the air, and it went away. But then she said, you know, he's a pilot. She said, but we won't fly in storms. And the commentator was saying, well, if you've got power over the weather, why won't you fly in storms?
Right. Or go stop the droughts in certain areas. Yeah, they're charlatans. Right. They're charlatans. So this is what Kenneth Copeland has said. He says, heaven has a north and a south and an east and a west. Consequently, it must be a planet. And I got more after the break. I'll read some more. But we'll move on. Okay, buddy?
Okay, brother.
All right, man.
Yep.
All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get right back after the break.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. And if you want to give me a call, we have some open lines, 877-207-2276. Remember to go to Odyssey and sign up and support us. We're going to be putting up a lot of videos. I've got some new projects coming up, and you can check it out. That's where we're moving from YouTube over to there. And it'll be a good call because as YouTube becomes more restrictive to conservatives, we're going to go to a place where they won't do that. That's Odyssey. So if you are interested in watching the show and checking out the link, all you got to do is go to the CARM homepage, carm.org. On the right-hand side, you'll see the Watch Matchlick Live thing. You click on that. It'll take you a page. It has it in green to sign up for the Odyssey. All right, let's get to Sheila from California. Sheila, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. You'd asked me to call again tonight. I had called about my grandkids hopefully being able to get into school without vaccinated, and you told me about getting them tested for immunities. So I called and inquired about that today at Diagnostic Centers. They called it an antibody test. I was just calling to update you. They called it an antibody test, and they said you can get a request from a doctor to get it, or you could just order it yourself, which is probably easier because some of the doctors are leery. I called the doctor and said, oh, well, antibodies could change and so on. Well, anyway, so then I just thought, well, it'd probably be better to purchase it yourself unless you could find a doctor who would write you a referral to get it. And so for $69, you can get it. It's inexpensive. I thought it was going to be way expensive. I thought, oh, wow, this is going to be a barrier. But no, $69. And so that's good, especially if there's multiple kids who want to take it. And so I just wanted to update on that, you know, for you. And then
appreciate it.
I guess next is just the schools, how they're going to, how they would accept it. So I'm going to call around some schools tomorrow and just make up, you know, some certain scenarios and see what they say. Just, you know,
well,
in my lunch
there's
break.
If you go to CARM, CARM.org, and you go to /COVID, you can go there and you can see an example of an exemption letter. And it's there, and people can, you know, copy it and print it up. But a lot of people don't know that the vaccines were developed and tested using human fetal material, human abortive cell usage.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
That's right. And I have the documentation. It's right there. You can click on it. I'm looking at doing it right now, and it comes up to the thing where it's a chart that I found, and that's it. So that's another thing, is to do that. Now, you've got to understand that what's happening in our government and our society is as you move towards socialism, you have less and less freedom. And so the more that the government gains control, the less freedom we're going to have. And the more control they have, the more they're going to assert that you have to comply with certain things. This is why a lot of people don't want the COVID vaccine, because they're resisting this movement of control. There's no reason for children to get vaccinated. Yeah. It's just not there. Not for this. Now, other things, sure, okay, but not this. Because the studies show that the children, it's ridiculous. They don't get it. Hardly ever. It's a control thing.
It is. But anyway, I just wanted to update you and thank you for the information.
Sure.
And I can let you go on to your other callers and just thank you.
You're welcome.
Set me on
God
a good
bless.
Path, so now I'm researching, doing stuff.
And hopefully it'll work. You know, different school districts will say yes, and some say no. Some whatever. You know, just see what happens. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, God bless.
All right.
Okay.
All right, bye. You too. God bless. Bye.
Okay. Bye. All right, folks, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-220-7276. Let's get to Mila from Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a that is bothering me since I talked to my Catholic friend. But it was, I mean, I'm not totally with her, but it was a question that I couldn't answer directly with certainly. And it was, I know we are safe. When we receive Christ, he already paid for our sins. And my belief is that we all go to heaven. But there are some people that they didn't have, or they received Christ, they've been saved, but they're still dealing with some sins, like a lying, like a drinking, trying to fix the fornication or things like that. What happened when they died during that process and they didn't have a chance yet to ask for forgiveness for those things? Did they go to heaven?
You're talking about Roman Catholic theology, and it's false. What the Catholic Church is teaching about this is not true. So Christians don't have sin. And in one sense they do, one sense they don't. See, Jesus canceled the certificate of debt, the sin debt at the cross, Colossians 2:14. And so there's a sense in which Christians don't have sin. There's another sense in which they do. I mean, of course we walk around and we make mistakes, we sin, we do things. But from the eternal perspective, Christ has canceled our sin debt, Colossians 2:14. So in that sense, we don't have it. In another sense, we do. It's called, in theology, the now and the not yet. Okay? Now, so I'm not saying it's okay to sin. I'm not saying it's okay to just go out and do everything bad, you don't repent, and it's okay to go to heaven. I'm not saying that. But we've got to understand that our confession of sins is not what saves us. It's faith in Christ that saves us, not an act of confession. If someone were to sin and is unaware of that sin and then dies without confessing that sin, they go to that person is a Christian, goes to heaven, even though that sin hasn't been confessed. What if a person commits a sin and forgets to repent of it? Because we do things, we forget we've done it, and then that person dies to go to heaven? Of course it does. What if another person does something on purpose, and just in rebellion, whatever, stupid, you know, does something sinful, and is angry and doesn't repent for a few hours, a day or two, and he's going to probably, and but before that chance he dies. Does he go to heaven? Of course he does. Our position in heaven is not dependent upon our confession of repentance. Though some cults and Catholicism and other groups say, yes, it is. You have to be able to confess in order to go to heaven. Well, that means then that you have to say words, you have to do certain things, and that's what enables you to go to heaven, and that's not the case. We confess our sins because we're regenerate, we're saved. We confess and repent of them because we're regenerate, because we're saved. So in one sense, no Christian dies with his sin because in that eternal sense, Christ has paid for all of them and the sin debt's canceled, Colossians 2:14. In another sense, yeah, we still sin during the day. We still make mistakes. We still do things that are false. But all those sins have been paid for. And so they're taken care of. The dependence of whether or not they're forgiven is not on our action but on Christ's action. And a lot of people don't get that, because in Colossians 2:14 it says Jesus canceled out the certificate of debt, having nailed it to the cross. The certificate of debt is a sin debt. He canceled it at the cross. It's not canceled when you believe. It's not canceled when you get baptized. And it's not canceled when you repent. You are justified when you believe. Justification is different than debt canceled. Okay, we can talk about this more after the break. So this is just a theological issue to lay several things out for people to make sense of it. Okay, so hold on. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages, please. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Myla, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Okay. I have a couple more questions.
Sure.
Okay, just correct me if I'm wrong. The Bible says that no adulterers, no homosexuals,
right.
No liars,
mm-hmm.
No drunkards go to heaven. So if a Christian that is being saved is still drinking, so you say that sin is canceled after he died.
Well, drinking is not a sin. It's not a sin. Okay. So a lot of people don't know that. Jesus' first miracle was making wine in John 2. And Proverbs 31:6, it says, give strong drink to the man who's dying and wine to the one who's in distress. And so drinking is not a sin. Getting angry is not a sin. But you can do these things in a sinful way. See, God even gets angry. And Jesus drank wine. So it's not a sin automatically. People aren't familiar with this. But nevertheless, getting drunk and being addicted to it, that's sinful. The practice of these things. Because what it says here, what you're quoting is 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous, that's not believers, the unrighteous,
Oh, okay.
They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. See, those aren't Christians.
I thought it was talking about Christians.
Okay, my last question, if I have time. Sure, go ahead.
My last question was, okay, after we die, I know the Bible says we're going to heaven. I'm trying to see if I understand them correctly. When we die, we go to heaven, we are with Christ.
Yes.
Are we in the New Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that is going to come down, or are in heaven?
It looks like we're with the Lord, because 2 Corinthians 5:8 says to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. And so when we die, we go to be with Him. The New Jerusalem is something that is future, and it's supposed to be like 1,400 mile cube. I don't believe that it's a literal New Jerusalem like of that size. It means something else. And the mathematics behind it is for numeric value and some examination. But that's future still, whatever that's going to be. Okay.
Oh, so we are in heaven.
We'll be with the Lord. The Lord is in heaven. That's where Jesus is. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. So that's where He is. We're going to be with Him.
Now, okay. And this is my last question, I promise. When Jesus says that he's coming and going to rapture all of us, dead first, and then us. If He's coming to rapture us from the dead, and we are in heaven, who is He going to rapture to if we are with Him?
Those who have died already, are the first ones who are resurrected are the ones who died in Christ. This is 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 45 talks about that, and also 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through chapter 5, verse 2 talks about these things. So the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain should be caught up together to meet Him in the air. And that's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. So that's what that is. We're going to be with them whenever the rapture occurs. The dead in Christ rise first, and then the others will be raptured.
Yeah, but if we are with Christ, the ones that would die, the ones that die, they're with Christ.
They don't get raptured. They don't get raptured.
So okay. The dead...
That those who are dead in Christ, who have died, are with the Lord. They will receive their resurrected bodies before the rapture occurs. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Okay.
Also, Jesus is coming to rapture the living one, but the dead one, He's bringing the spirit to reunite with a new body.
Right. Yep. That's right. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
De nada. Es fácil.
Gracias.
Okay.
Gracias.
Okay, gracias. Okay, see ya. All right. Okay, let's get to, let's see, Dylan from Toledo, Ohio. Hey, Dylan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I believe in prayer.
Good.
And I believe the scripture that I am calling to ask you about is written in red.
Okay.
So it says to, you have made this a den of thieves versus a house of prayer.
Right.
So how do I do my best to dwell in the house of prayer?
Well, he's talking in the context of the Pharisees who were changing the temple work and all that synagogue work, all that stuff that was all combined into legalism and self-righteousness for money, for gain, and for power. And that's why he says that you've made it a robber's den. So that's what they did. He's clearing out the temple, right in the context. Jesus entered the temple and drove out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables and the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. So this was Jesus. He was getting violent. Now, violent, not in the sense he's striking people in the face, but it says he drove them out. And we know from other scriptures that he made a cord of rope, and he swung it, and he drove them out of there. And a lot of people, oh, no, Jesus is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasians, dude. He wouldn't do that. No, he did. But nevertheless, he overturned their tables and the money changers, and he drove them out. And then that's what, in that context, says you're making it a house of robbers. That's not you. You don't have to worry about that. You're not sitting there trying to sell the gospel and sell to make money and put people under bondage, as so many popular confession people are doing. You just want to pray? Just pray. Don't worry about it. Just trust God. Just seek His face and just pray. And you'll be fine.
Bless you. Thank you for taking the call. Now, is the Lord's Prayer a safe prayer?
Well, I would say that the Lord's Prayer, coming from Jesus, it would be a pretty safe prayer. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people use it just as something to repeat. I'm not saying don't repeat it, but you got to be careful not to get into this idea of simple repetition as though that prayer is going to somehow be helpful. But I'm not saying don't do it either. It's the attitude. Like in Catholicism, they just repeat it. They just say it. Let's say the Our Father, then they repeat it. They do it, with their lives 1,000 times. Well, the idea of prayer is not just simply repetition, but a heartfelt connection. And in fact, that actually speaks to me when I say this, because lately I've realized some of the prayers I say to my Lord are repetitions. Because I pray this, for my children every night, and I pray for my wife every night. Well, I've been doing it for years, and I find sometimes I'm just kind of repeating that. And I realize, wait a minute, I got to focus in it and be in that prayer. And so, just a little something. And so that's what I'm doing. It's like, okay, I'm not just saying it to say it again. I'm saying it because it's true. I need to say it. I need to be in that prayer to my Lord. And so this is the idea of, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When you say it, if you want to, that's fine. Just say it with meaning and truth, not just recite the words, if that makes sense.
Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, it makes a 10 sense to me. I felt the connection while speaking with you. So I do appreciate it. And that's all the question I have.
All right, man. God bless, brother. All right.
God bless.
God bless. Okay. All right. Let's get to Tom from Des Moines, Iowa. Tom, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Hey, I'm kind of going through Ephesians, and I got to, going back through this, chapter 2, 11 through 14, he's talking about the one becoming, or the two becoming one.
Right.
Therefore, remember that you once uncircumcised right. by what is called the circumcision made by the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope but without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. Who is the both?
The Gentiles and Jews.
Okay.
Verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the faith, in the flesh, who were called uncircumcised by the circumcision. So it's uncircumcised with the Gentiles, often sometimes referred to as dogs in a pejorative sense. So in Christ, because he fulfilled the covenant requirements, he died on the cross, and we're justified by faith, he brought both groups into one, that we're justified by faith in Christ. Hey, hold on. We'll get back to it after the break, okay? Hey, folks, we have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-220-7226. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, let's get back to Tom from Des Moines, Iowa. Tom, welcome. You're on the air. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
We got cut off there from the break, but did that help?
Yeah, I think what got me was 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace.
Right. The Jews and the Gentiles were, in a sense, at odds with each other, because the Jews had the rite of circumcision and had the oracles of God. And the Gentiles did not have that. So because of this, there was a disparity, an enmity, a hatred between them, because the Gentiles thought the Jews were whacked, and the Jews looked down on the Gentiles. So the enmity is removed, or the hatred is removed, by the blood of Christ, who unites both groups into one by faith. Okay?
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy. God bless.
All right, buddy.
Okay. Hey, folks. Let's try this again. Instead of forks, how about folks? Four open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Sophia from Idaho. Hey, Sophia, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about...
I'm going to ask you, where are you in Idaho? Just before you get out, I just want to know where you're from. Where are you from? Where in Idaho? What city?
I live in Homedale.
Homedale. Oh, okay, not too far. Yeah, I'm in Nampa area. Okay, sure. No sweat. Okay. You're down here. All right. Okay, so what do you got?
Okay, I have a question about Ephesians 4, 26 and 27.
Okay.
I have KJV Bible. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So my question about it, is it saying that I should stop being angry before I go to bed, or is it saying that I should not let the sun go down upon my wrath, as in I should stay angry at sin?
That's a tough one. Now, this is often used in marriage counseling. And the first half of the verse here, you know, be angry and do not sin. So God gets angry, but he doesn't sin. So anger is not automatically sinful. We can get angry, but we're not to sin in the process of being angry. And so what are we to be angry about? We're to be angry about unrighteousness and sin and rebellion and things like that. But do that without sinful judgment upon people. And do not let the sun go down in your anger. Don't let sin have a place in your heart. And if you're angry, then take care of it. If you, you know, like I'm angry at our government for, you know, opening the borders and letting hundreds of thousands come in, and then paying them, and flying them into other cities in the middle of the night. That bothers me. Makes me angry. Now, but it persists every single day, because I don't like what the Biden, Brandon administration is doing. I don't think it's good, and I think it's unconstitutional, etc. Now, that doesn't mean, though, that I hate them, but it does mean that I pray for them. And I pray for them in two ways. One, an imprecatory psalm, you know, God, if they're not your elect, and you're, you know, get them, discipline them. But the other is save them. And so I can still be angry about what they're doing in their sinfulness and rebellion against God, but I'm doing it without being angry. And so when I talk about this with marriage counseling, if a couple is angry at each other, now it depends. There's some times when you just have to let things sit for 24 hours. You just do, and you got to work on it. And that said, you let the sun go down in your anger. I get that. But for the principle is, no, we want to make sure that we have things settled before we go to bed, before you know, we retire for the evening. We don't want it to disturb our sleep. We don't want it to become part of our psyche. And we don't want it to rule over us. And this is the idea that is being talked about. Okay?
What specifically would you say that this verse is talking about? Like, a lot, the majority of people say that it's talking about when the sun goes down, stop being angry. But then other people will say, well, it can have multiple meanings. But what do you believe specifically this verse is talking about?
I think it says when the sun goes down, try not to be angry anymore. The sun goes down, don't let the sun go down in your anger. That's it. Try not to let it happen. Okay.
So is it also talking about to be angry at sin?
Well, sin is an abstraction. We're angry at people who sin. Sin is, you know, if someone lies. Are you angry at that lie? No. But you can be angry at the liar. So just be angry at sin. You know, we can be dissatisfied with sinful behavior, but it's behavior of people. And so we need to pray for them. So the idea here is we don't want to let anger rule in us. We don't want that at all. And there's a reason for it. It says in Ephesians 4:31, which is just a few verses later, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. When I do marriage counseling, we talk about these verses. And it's important because bitterness is something that occurs to people when they've been wronged. So whether you believe it's wrong or it really was wrong, either way, someone believes he's wronged or she is wronged, they hold on to that offense from somebody else, and it makes you bitter about that person. Bitterness leads to wrath and anger and judgment and hatred. And so this is why Paul is saying, don't let these things be in you. Put them away. Learn to be forgiving because Christ has forgiven you. In our anger, we want to make sure that our anger is not against someone who has offended us. But we want to make sure that we are forgiving them the best we can, as much as we can, because of Christ and his work in us. That's what it's talking about. You there? Hello?
All right.
Okay. Hope that helps. All right?
Well...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's similar to what I've also heard before, which I agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that 26 and 27, they're also referring to not compromise with
right. You don't want to compromise, right? Right.
Well,
it doesn't say evil.
Murder.
It doesn't say that. That's the thing we've got to be careful with. Because what he's talking about is put on the new self, verse 24, in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. Now, the context is about people around you and with you. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer. He's talking about people in your community, in your area right there. We have reason to be angry with people, but we need to let it go. And we need to do that. We need to go to the cross and say, Lord, I have been wronged, and I need to forgive that person. Teach me how. Don't let the sun go down on that anger. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for that answer. I appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, God bless.
Yeah, God bless you.
Okay. All right, we'll see ya. All right. Let's get to Marie from Richmond, Virginia. Marie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey. Hello.
Hi.
Can you
Hi.
Hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Okay, good. I feel real silly asking you this, but I've been dying to ask you for a while.
That's all right.
Four years ago, my mom passed away in November. Mm-hmm. And then 2 months later in January, I had a heart transplant.
You had a heart transplant? Really?
Yes. And I tell you what, you talk about so many blessings before I even got there. It was awesome. Oh, my gosh. Goosebumps. But what's happened is my stepdad and I have been living together since she has passed. And my nephews gave her these cute little stuffed cherries. You know, with the stems and everything, and it's been hanging in the kitchen. And the other day, I was working on something for dinner, and I kid you not, all of a sudden, those cherries flew across the room and hit me.
Okay.
And I was telling my son about it. I've read where we're not allowed to communicate with the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And my son said, "Mom, I think that's a demon." And my response was, "Get away from me in Jesus' name," because mm-hmm. I didn't know. can that be from Mom, or
well,
is it a demon thing?
I would not think it was from your mom, okay? The Bible says uh-huh. that they can't cross over from paradise to Hades. Now, that's in Luke 16, 19 through 31. Now, to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. Now, was your mom a Christian?
Yes.
Okay. So she's probably with the
she
Lord.
She wasn't. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So she wasn't what?
She wasn't going to church actively. She was okay. when I was a kid. So I don't know what you would call that.
Well, there's only two possibilities. She either was or she wasn't. She's with the Lord or she's not, and we just don't know. But I would not say that that event is from God. I would not say that.
Okay.
And I have no doubt, you know, of what you're saying. Yeah, those things can happen. And I know of certain instances and stuff and stories. I got a few myself. But I have to ask you questions now. And we only have a couple of minutes. But mm-hmm. You are going to church, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you married? You got a husband?
No.
Okay. And so you're going to church. And what I would do if I were you is call the elders of the church. Hopefully it's a good church. And you have the elders come over to your house and pray through the house. And you need to pray through the house because if something like that is happening, it reminds me of the issue of an occult door that's been opened. And that...
Oh.
So you just want to pray for the house. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. All right? But the idea is to pray through the house. You can do it yourself, but it's really good when the elders come through. And I've done it in a few homes, and I just take oil and just touch, you know, just very lightly, just touch the walls and the doors and just pray out loud and talk to my Lord. It's not like some magical thing, you do this and it's going to work. It's just, it's a consecration of your home to the Lord. And you need to look for any doors that are open, spiritual doors. Like, are there any occult things in your house? You know, like Ouija boards and stuff, crystals. Okay, we're almost out of time here. So you may have to call back tomorrow. We could talk about this some more. But if these things moved across the room, then a door has been opened of some sort somewhere. We could talk about that. Okay?
Well,
that's how we
got to
go, though. Call back tomorrow. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry about that, Marie. We're out of time, though. Hey, folks. Wow, good stuff. Good, interesting stuff. If you want to continue listening, it'll be tomorrow. And by His grace, we'll be back on the air then. And we'll talk to you then. I hope you have a great evening. God bless everybody. Good night.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.